Tonight, breaking news. Aaron Andrews awarded millions after a stalker secretly taped the sports reporter at a hotel. The jury taking only hours to decide. Going for a knockout, Trump tries to make Florida a two-man race, while Clinton hopes to make Michigan Sanders' last stand. And one of the biggest remaining wild cards decides whether he'll shake up the race. Honoring Nancy Reagan. Funeral arrangements announced for the former First Lady as new tributes pour in. Flash flood emergency. Deadly storms on the West Coast forcing high water rescues and shutting down roads, and the danger isn't over. Fertility breakthrough, the first successful procedure of its kind in the U.S., giving new hope to women who never thought they could get pregnant. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. We start with late word from Nashville, where a jury has awarded sportscaster and network TV star Aaron Andrews $55 million in her lawsuit against the stalker who secretly recorded her in her hotel room and the companies that own the hotel. After several days of testimony, which included Andrews herself and her convicted stalker, the jury took only a matter of hours before finding in Andrews' favor. And as there was throughout the trial, there was high emotion in the courtroom as the verdict was read. NBC's Morgan Radford has late details.
It was a tense day in court for Aaron Andrews, but it only took 7 hours for this.
Was the defendant Michael David Barrett at fault? Answer, yes. Did the defendant Windsor Capital Incorporated to be at fault? Answer, 12, yes.
The jury awarded Andrews $55 million. Michael Barrett is responsible for 51% of that amount. The hotel owner and management company, 49%. The decision was unanimous. The judge then ordered the courtroom camera turned off so that Andrews could speak to the jury. Andrews sued for $75 million for emotional distress after a video taken of her undressing in her Nashville hotel room 8 years ago went viral.
I think the thing that's really hit home for me and hurts me the worst is when girls, high school, college, they tweet me and they say, I want to be Aaron Andrews except for the Marriott stalker thing. And I can't control that.
She claimed the hotel granted stalker Michael Barrett's request to room next to her. The hotel's lawyer said Barrett is a criminal who manipulated their reservation system.
Banks created bank robbers. Are banks responsible for bank robbers?
Barrett testified by video after serving 20 months in prison. He admitted he was wrong.
I felt bad for her. I felt bad for everybody. I knew that ripple effect is going to affect a lot of people.
Now, after 7 days of emotional testimony, finally, a decision.
She can point to some distress that she's going to have the rest of her life, but she can't put a monetary figure on it. And so that's why the jury came back with a lesser figure.
The defense said they were surprised by the outcome, but Aaron Andrews left the courtroom in tears, this time tears of joy, releasing a statement on Twitter saying she was overwhelmed by all the support. Lester?
All right, Morgan Radford, thank you. There is developing political news also tonight. Late word that former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has decided against mounting an independent bid for president. While the man he was hoping to derail, Donald Trump, is looking at a little less certain path to the nomination tonight. Crunching the numbers after a series of contests over the weekend revealed Trump is leading Ted Cruz tonight by fewer than 90 delegates. While for Democrats, a critical vote is just hours away in Michigan, and it could have the biggest impact on Bernie Sanders. We have it all covered, starting with NBC's Katie Turr.
In the editorial announcing he wouldn't run, Michael Bloomberg wrote that he was worried that a vote for him would ultimately be a vote for Donald Trump, whose campaign he called divisive and demagogic. Four states vote tomorrow, including Mississippi, where we're at right now and where Donald Trump is expected to take the stage momentarily. And he needs every vote he can get to avoid a contested convention.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Donald Trump on the offensive.
This guy is such a scoundrel.
As the race for the nomination gets fierce, today it's starting to look more like a two-man battle after he and Ted Cruz split wins over the weekend.
I would love to take on Ted one-on-one. That would be so much fun. because Ted can't win New York. He can't win New Jersey.
To ensure that face-off, Trump is out with his first TV attack ad aimed to take out Marco Rubio.
All talk, no action.
A vote for John Kasich or a vote for Ted Cruz in Florida is a vote for Donald Trump.
Rubio and John Kasich suddenly within striking distance in their home states. Right now, Trump is only up 87 delegates to Cruz. 536 are at stake in the coming week. But Trump's path forward is hinging on next Tuesday, and the winner-take-all states of Florida and Ohio. If he banks both, he gets the space he needs to break away. But if he loses to Marco Rubio in Florida and John Kasich in Ohio, locking down the nomination gets tough, and Trump will need to win nearly 70% of the remaining delegates to stave off a convention floor fight.
If we win Florida, it's over. If we win Florida and Ohio, it's really over, okay?
Today in Concord, North Carolina.
Should we do the pledge?
Trump again calling on his supporters to raise their right hand.
I swear I'm going to vote for Donald Trump next week.
A request he first made in Orlando on Saturday, images of which went viral. Up tomorrow, Michigan, Mississippi, Idaho, and Hawaii. And there, 150 delegates. Katie Turr, NBC News, Madison, Mississippi.
I'm Casey Hunt in Michigan, where Tuesday's primary might be Bernie Sanders' last chance to prove he can overtake Hillary Clinton.
She has supported virtually every one of these disastrous trade agreements.
He was on offense on trade policy. But in a fiery debate Sunday night, she turned the tables.
I'll tell you something else that Senator Sanders was against. He was against the auto bailout. I voted to save the auto industry. He voted against the money that ended up saving the auto industry.
Sanders accusing Clinton of mischaracterizing his record. The money that supported thousands of Michigan jobs was part of a 2009 bill that also helped bail out big banks.
I voted for the auto bailout. What I did not vote for, and make no apologies, is the bailout of the crooks on Wall Street.
Vote for the one candidate who stood up for the auto industry.
Clinton's already up with a new radio ad, and the issue topped local stories in Michigan, where voters who are skeptical of Wall Street don't see big car companies as part of the problem.
There's no trickery or anything with them. It's an industry that gives people jobs.
A new NBC News Marist poll shows Clinton ahead here by 17 points. But both sides privately believe it will be much closer.
It's essential because he really needs to change the narrative fast. He's running out of time.
A key challenge for Sanders? Winning over more minority voters.
When you're white, you don't know what it's like to be living in a ghetto. You don't know what it's like to be poor.
An answer raising more questions about whether he can broaden his appeal. Sanders is rallying students here at the University of Michigan later tonight, hoping they'll show up tomorrow. If he does well and pulls it out, it could give him some hope for those March 15 states in the Midwest, like Ohio and Illinois. But if he can't, it's going to be that much more evidence that Clinton's delegate lead is all but insurmountable. Lester.
All right, Casey, thank you. And funeral arrangements were announced today for former First Lady Nancy Reagan. She died yesterday in California at age 94. Tonight, the tributes continue to pour in as people remember her and the love story that led her from Hollywood to the White House. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has more.
Tonight, the flag over the White House lowered to half staff and other signs of respect for an historic First Lady.
I know how much she meant, not just to President Reagan, but to the country as a whole.
Her burial next to her husband Friday at the Reagan Library in California, reuniting a remarkable political couple.
I don't think that they ever spent a day apart where they didn't call, speak on the phone.
Married in 1952, they appeared together in Hellcats of the Navy.
You knew better.
How could I know?
Knowing most Hollywood marriages did not end happily, she left acting to make him her life's work, playing more than a supporting role on their climb to the White House, converting bad press over designer gowns during a recession into good press for her anti-drug campaign.
If someone offers you drugs, what will you do?
No!
Her special touch on everything from a breakthrough summit with the evil empire, an historic meeting with Mikhail Gorbachev, and Van Cliburn melting the Cold War ice by playing a Russian folk song at a state dinner.
She set about to make sure the climate was right for him to do business with Gorbachev, and they did.
Always prompting her husband to be open to compromise.
We'd be talking about some question up on the Hill, some piece of legislation. He said, Jim, I'd rather get 80% of what I want than go over the cliff with my flag flying.
Overshadowing all the 1981 assassination attempt.
Every time he went out and talked to thousands of people, my heart stopped.
And their enduring love affair.
I can't imagine life without her.
After he wrote about his Alzheimer's diagnosis, she defied a new Republican president, speaking out for stem cell research.
It's not taking a life, it's trying to save countless lives.
Remaining his caregiver during the long goodbye.
And throughout it all, she was his protector, sensing political pitfalls before he ever saw them, helping him become the president he would never have been without her at his side. Lester.
Andrea Mitchell tonight, thanks. And Tom Brokaw started covering the Reagans back in Ronald Reagan's days, campaigning for governor of California. He knew Nancy Reagan for almost a half a century. Tom, thanks for being here. Tell me the difference between the public Nancy Reagan and the private one that you knew.
Well, in public, she was always deferential to her husband, obviously. She was the first lady, but she didn't express her political opinions actively. She stood there and was adoring of him wherever she happened to be behind the scenes. She was highly regarded as a political strategist, as someone who would brook no disloyalty to her husband in whatever fashion. A lot of people had their jobs taken away from them because Nancy felt that they weren't serving him well or that they had crossed her at some point. She was a very, very good political advisor for him.
How clean was the break from Hollywood? You were there during this transition into politics.
Well, you know, what he even said, I don't know how you can be president of the United States without having had some training as an actor. So they never completely rejected the idea that they came from Hollywood. They came from the upper echelons of Hollywood, the kind of elegant society that existed out there, Jimmy Stewart and his wife Gloria and Rosalind Russell and those kinds of people who came from old Hollywood. They always felt connected to it. When they went back to California, those were their friends. And it was an important part of their life, and they never denied that.
All right. Tom, thanks very much.
Okay.
They need rain in California, but parts of the state have been getting so much of it in recent days, it may be doing more harm than good, at least immediately. The storms have been deadly and destructive, causing flash flooding, evacuations, and rescues, and there is much more severe weather to come this week. National correspondent Miguel Almaguer has our report.
Today in Southern California, the deluge. Flash flooding and hammering hail. The knockout punch came early, even palm trees catching fire from lightning strikes.
We heard like a big bang, like a bomb. It sounded like kind of like a bomb.
In Northern California, relentless rain pounded weak hillsides, a cliffhanger for an apartment complex already on the edge in Pacifica. It's set to be demolished if Mother Nature doesn't topple it into the ocean first.
This is just hammering coastline. You're losing the apartments up north of here.
The West Coast battered for 3 days by a storm fueled in part by El Nino, an atmospheric river bringing more than 9 inches of steady rain to some regions. Wind speeds hit 88 miles per hour. Thousands losing power, trees toppling into homes. Freeways were shut down during rush hour. Near Sacramento, a woman killed in her car when a road became a river.
Water was 6 to 8 feet deep by the time we were able to get into the vehicle.
Rescue teams were busy overnight, bringing the trap to safety. Now there's even more rain and snow in the forecast. Good news for the drought. In the mountains, a below-average snowpack is getting up to 4 feet of fresh powder. But in many parts of California, it's too much too soon. A short window to dry out before much of the state gets hammered again.
Tonight in communities like this one, though, the rain has temporarily stopped. The threat of mudslides is far from over. These hills are waterlogged, and the communities just below them are watching them closely, hoping that the hills don't shift or slide over the next 24 to 48 hours. Lester.
Miguel, thank you. Still ahead tonight, the new frontier in fertility, a groundbreaking transplant, first of its kind in the U.S. that could change everything for women who've been told they'll never become mothers. An amazing breakthrough announced today in women's health. The first woman in the U.S. to receive a uterine transplant came forward with her doctors at the Cleveland Clinic to talk about the revolutionary procedure. As NBC's Janet Shamlian reports, she hopes to be a pioneer for women who've been told they can't be biological moms.
The Texas woman who received the nation's first uterine transplant says it's been her dream to bear children.
It provided me with a gift that I will never be able to repay.
The experimental surgery is groundbreaking, a way for as many as 50,000 U.S. women without the organ to become pregnant.
Those women who are still of reproductive age, who have good eggs that can go on to become healthy pregnancies, those are great candidates for this kind of project.
The 26-year-old woman, identified only as Lindsay, has three adopted boys. At 16, she was told she'd never carry her own baby.
From that moment on, I've prayed that God would allow me the opportunity to experience pregnancy.
The uterus from a deceased donor was implanted into Lindsay's pelvis during a 9-hour procedure and will be removed after she bears children so she can stop the anti-rejection drugs.
There's still a long road to motherhood ahead. Lindsay will have to take anti-rejection drugs for a year before undergoing IVF here at the Cleveland Clinic.
The rejection risk is high, yet in Sweden, where it was pioneered, 9 transplants have led to the cesarean section birth of 5 babies, including this newborn. Now Lindsay's chance, the first of 10 American women in the trial.
Healthy baby, that's right. That is what is going to make this the picture a perfect ending.
One step closer, as a revolutionary new procedure could turn dreams of pregnancy into reality. Janet Shamlian, NBC News, Cleveland.
We're back in a moment with the royal family hitting the slopes and the questions over whether Prince William is spending enough time on the job. In Alaska, the famed Iditarod dog sled race is underway. 85 teams will travel through more than 1,000 miles of wilderness in the next week or so. The race began about 50 miles north of Anchorage, and there appeared to be enough snow, unlike in the city itself, where they had to bring in snow by train for the ceremonial start on Saturday. The teams, each with 18 dogs and a driver, will compete for $70,000 in prize money. No shortage of snow in the French Alps as the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge took their children on a family ski trip. William and Kate released a series of photos of their vacation showing Prince George, now 2.5, and 10-month-old Princess Charlotte playing in the snow for the first time. The vacation comes as some newspapers question whether Prince William is spending enough time on his official royal duties. When we come back, the emotional end of an era as an NFL superstar says farewell. Finally, tonight, one of the NFL's all-time greats has played his final down. After much speculation, quarterback Peyton Manning announced his retirement today. Manning, who comes from football royalty, leaves the game a champion, ending his career on a Super Bowl win. NBC's Blake McCoy has more.
Super Bowl 50 now becomes a storybook ending to a storied career.
There's something about 18 years. 18 is a good number. And today, I retire from pro football.
Peyton Manning has seen a lot of good numbers, first with the Indianapolis Colts, then the Denver Broncos. Named league MVP 5 times, Manning has the most career wins ever by a quarterback at 200, 2 of them Super Bowls. He's also the all-time leader in passing touchdowns and passing yards. But Manning's legacy is one beyond statistics.
Peyton Manning was really the first quarterback who came out of the huddle and almost turned football into improvisational theater.
There were other players who were more talented, but there was no one who could out-prepare me. And because of that, I have no regrets.
Off the field, Manning's wholesome image and southern charm made him a natural pitchman. In recent months, Manning pushed back hard against 2 allegations that threatened to tarnish that image, a report suggesting he used human growth hormone, and a sexual assault claim from his college years.
I did not do what has been alleged.
As Manning leaves the game for good, frequent foe Tom Brady says you changed the game forever and made everyone around you better. It's been an honor. Manning does not yet know what the future holds.
I revere football. I love the game. So you don't have to wonder if I'll miss it. Absolutely. Absolutely, I will.
And football will miss Peyton Manning.
Omaha.
Blake McCoy, NBC News, Denver.
That will do it for us on a Monday night. I'm Lester Holt for all of us at NBC News. Thank you for watching, and good night.